Job 13. Read one verse, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father, for every promise in this word. I thank you, God, that it's good for instruction and reproof. And God, I pray that tonight, even though the word is anointed, God, I ask for a special anointing, God, upon it and upon your servant, Lord, as I bring this word tonight. I pray, God, that it will find a place in every heart, Lord, as we learn to apply your word, Lord, to our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will maintain mine own ways before the Lord. Now, know here before we get started, I am going to do just a background. I know most of us probably know the account of Job, but for those who may not, I do want to kind of just set the foundation here. But before I do that, maintain here doesn't necessarily mean what we might think the word maintain would mean, as in to continue or keep on. It does mean that, but also Job being written in Hebrew, as it correlates to the scripture here, it also means to defend or to support. So keep that in mind tonight as I endeavor to preach this. Can you defend your ways? Can you defend your ways? Job is saying, I will defend my ways. Remember the story. Job was a very, very rich man. Seven sons, three daughters. With that many kids, it was an act of God that he was a rich man. You can't have 10 kids and be rich unless God shows up, right? He had numerous servants. He also had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. And one day, God and Satan were having a conversation about Job, and Satan said that Job was only serving God because of the goodness that God had shown him. He's only serving you because of what you give him, because of the riches that you have bestowed upon him, and I can make him curse you. You take that away and he will curse you. God said, all right, I'll give you a shot. Go ahead, but don't touch his body. Do whatever you want, but don't touch his body. Satan unleashed on him, and through a series of events, very quick series of events, in a few moments of time, Job lost all of his animals, he lost all of his children, he lost all of his servants, except those who came to bear the bad news. And what did Job do? He didn't get angry with God. He didn't turn and walk away. But chapter 1, verse 20 says that Job tore his robe, which conveyed deep sorrow. He shaved his head, which at that time was a common practice when someone was in mourning. And he fell to the ground and he worshiped. He worshiped. After losing practically everything that he had, while Satan expected him to fall apart and curse God, Job did exactly what God said he would do, and he worshiped God instead of cursing him. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Came naked into this world, and I've got more now than I came in with. Praise God. Chapter 2 talks about, still giving a foundation here, God and Satan are talking again. Satan says, okay, if you'll let me attack his body, I will make him curse you. Didn't have much luck the first time. God said, okay, but you can't take his life. The second attack from Satan left Job with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Blisters. If you don't know what boils are, they're very, very, very painful blisters And these blisters were from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He was in extreme, excruciating pain. And this time, his wife, the only family that he had left, tells him that he might as well curse God and die. I can take just about anything in this world as long as I know that I have my husband by me. We've been through a lot of hard stuff together. And Job's wife, the only family he had left, comes and says, curse God and die. What do you have to live for? All of this stuff that you have done for God, you've been faithful to him. And here he completely forsakes you. You've served him, and look what's happened. Golden boy, you being a golden boy, certainly did not pay off for you. Understand, she suffered just like Job did. She lost kids too. She lost wealth too. Now she's seeing her husband in pain, which is very hard. Amen, women? Wives, it's hard when you see your husband in pain. It's hard when you see them hurting. And she's saying, curse God and die. And he says, should I only serve God for the good things? Should I only serve him and praise him and worship him when I receive good at his hand and not bad? And then three of his friends come by, still setting up the groundwork here. They all get together and they go and they see Job. They sit down in the ashes with him for 7 days. And over the next few chapters, you can read this entire book of Job. Over the next few chapters, we see Job wishing that he'd never been born. We hear the three friends telling him that he's probably really done something bad, some major sin in his life is the reason why God has taken this stuff away from him and why God has allowed him to have all of these boils. Surely you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
This stuff just doesn't just happen. And so Job sits and he listens to everything that they have to say. And in chapter 13, verse 15, is where we read our text tonight, where he said, though he slay me, I will trust him, and I will maintain my ways before the Lord. This one little scripture right here packs a powerful punch. He said a whole mouthful of words right here. Regardless of what happens to me, regardless of what happens next, I will trust my God. Regardless of what I have when I wake up in the morning, I will trust my God. If this affliction does not kill me, I will trust my God. If this affliction brings me to my death, I will still trust my God. Yeah. I will not be moved. I may not like what's happening. I may not understand what's going on, but I choose to trust and serve God. Job was ready to defend his ways before God and to keep living in the same manner he had before all this hit. I know that God sees my actions, is what he was saying, and I know that God knows my heart, and I regret nothing. I have nothing to change. I have nothing to change. At his very lowest moment, Job had an undying faith in a faithful God. At his very lowest moment, even when it seemed like God was distant and like God had turned his back on him and forsaken him, Job was still declaring his ultimate trust in a trustworthy God. Even when nothing made sense. And even when it seemed that he had nothing left and nothing left to live for, Job still chose to ultimately believe that God is good.
Yes.
And that God had his best interest at heart. I will trust him.
Yes.
And I can defend my ways before him. I know that I have not done anything wrong to deserve all of this. God's not punishing me for anything. I know there are people who believe that when you're sick, it's a punishment from God. I know that. I've heard people say that before, that I just don't understand why I'm so sick. It's got to be a punishment from God. Surely I've done something wrong. That's not scriptural. He said, I will maintain my ways. What were his ways? He was perfect. Chapter 1, verse 1. He was a perfect man. He was blameless. He had a pure heart before God. He had pure motives and pure intentions. One definition that Merriam-Webster gives for being perfect is faithfully reproducing the original. Job was made in the image of God, and he was faithfully reflecting the character of God.
Yes.
He was upright. Scripture said he was upright. He was honorable. He was just and honest in all of his doings. He feared God. He had a sincere reverence for God. These are his ways that he's going to maintain. These are the things that I am. These are the things that are in my heart. This is who I am. This is how I've behaved. And I have nothing to change. He hated evil. He eschewed evil and deliberately and purposely avoided it. I've always heard that Billy Graham was the same way, that he would not even get on an elevator by himself with another woman. He wanted to avoid the appearance of evil. And this is what Job did. Job regularly, in verse 5 of chapter 1, he regularly offered up burnt offerings before the Lord, just in case, not just for himself, but just in case his children had sinned. He wanted to be that mediator. And while we don't offer up sacrifices today, it would probably be easier to kill a pigeon or a calf than it would to do what Romans chapter 12 tells us, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Our bodies, a living sacrifice. We are not going above and beyond whenever we present our bodies a living sacrifice. The word says it's our reasonable service to present ourselves to God.
Yes.
These were the ways of Job. And he could easily defend those ways. God, I stand before you. God, I can look you square in the eye and tell you that I have done nothing wrong. Can you say that tonight? Because of the way Job lived his life, God knew that it didn't matter what attack came his way. He had confidence in telling Satan, doesn't matter what you do to him, he's not going to curse me. He's not going to turn his back on me. Pastor preached a couple weeks, and Brother Carroll last week, turning and walking away. He knew Job wasn't going to. Satan didn't know that. Job had to prove himself to Satan. He had nothing to change. In the conversation between God and Satan, God endorsed Job.
Yeah, yes, he did.
God endorsed Job. Would God endorse you? If God told Satan, take everything he's got away, and he's still going to serve me. If God told Satan, go ahead and afflict her body with pain 24/7, she's still going to serve me. Would God endorse you? I know this is hard. And I've struggled with this message, I'm telling you. We've all had our hard times and we've all gone through hard things. But wouldn't it be awesome just knowing that God was saying behind your back, he's never going to turn his back on me. Wouldn't it be awesome to know what Jesus, what God is saying behind your back? He's got a close walk with me. She's never going to curse me. Are your ways worth defending? Can you defend your ways? Take a deep look into your heart tonight. Consider your ways over the last week or the last month. Most of you wouldn't want to have to stand and try to defend your ways to pastor, much less God. Most of us would not want a running video playing for our pastors, much less God. Can you defend your ways before the Lord? Can you stand before him and say, I know that I've done nothing. I'm pure. My motives are pure. We've all done this as kids, I think. Try to defend our ways. But Mom, but Dad. I remember when I was a kid, I was gonna tell a Tom story, but I think I'll tell a Bonnie story instead, my sister. Oh, I've got them. When I was a kid, our folks managed a chicken farm, commercial layers. And we had the cooler where we would take the eggs and we would box them up in the cases and they would stay there until the egg truck came. And my sister and I were into it one time about something. I don't know. It could have been anything. We were in the cooler. And we may have been gathering eggs, I don't even remember. I was probably griping at her because she wasn't gathering fast enough, or she wasn't casing them up fast enough or something. But we got into it about something. And I turned around and I walked out and I closed the door and it locked. And I turned the light out and I left her in that cooler, in the pitch black, cold cooler. And I walked away and I went back up to the house. And I knew I shouldn't have done it. Mom and Dad never told me, don't lock your sister in the cooler. I've never found a scripture in the Bible that says, thou shalt not lock thy sister in the cooler. But I knew I should not have locked my sister in the cooler. And I went up to the house, and my mom says, where's Bonnie? Well, she's down at the chicken houses. And I left it at that. She's down at the chicken houses. She was. I didn't lie. She was at the chicken houses. Well, you need to go get her because it's almost supper time. Uh-oh. My sister was not going to have any time to chill out before Mom saw her. So I walked down to the chicken house. Now, we was just down at the bottom of the hill, and I could hear my sister in there beating on the door, screaming and yelling and crying. I know it was mean. Okay, I know it was mean. But when I opened the door, and she was fit to be tied. I said, it's time for supper, and I took off running because I knew she'd be after me. And we got up to the house, and she told my mom what I did, and I knew I had no defense. I knew there was no way I could defend my actions. There was nothing that I could say in that moment that my mom was going to say, oh, okay, yeah, that was a good idea. You did good. I knew my mom was not going to say that. And I would have rather went to my dad. Ain't that right, Tom? That's right. We would have rather went to Dad, but it was Mom. And I got a spanking that I will never forget for locking my sister in the cooler. I could not defend my actions, and I didn't even try. It would have just been foolishness. The more I talked, the more I would have got in trouble because I knew that I had done wrong. Can you defend your actions over the past week? Can you look at God and say, God, I've done everything right. God, I've had right motives in everything that I've done. Every word that I've spoken has been in truth and it's been in love. I'm not asking for a show of hands. But I am asking you to search your heart tonight. I am asking you to search your heart. Are your ways worth continuing in? Is God convicting you about something? Understand, conviction and condemnation are not the same thing, okay? When the devil condemns you about something, that's likely something you're doing right. And you feel guilt and shame and hopelessness. But when the Holy Spirit convicts you, it's done out of love and it's done with hope. You have a hope to make things right. When the Holy Spirit convicts me, so much better than condemnation. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts me, He gives me a way to make it right. He gives me the opportunity to make it right. And I have a choice to make. I can continue in what I was doing. That thing that He's convicted me of, I can continue doing that. Or I can stop and make a change. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you of anything? Are your ways worth continuing in? Could you stand before God with a Bible in hand and scripturally defend your and justify your actions? Would God just say, carry on? Go ahead and lock your sister in the cooler. It's good. I got my meanness from my brothers. That's a disclaimer there. So consider what your mindset has been. Can you say, I'll maintain my ways? Can you say, I will defend my ways? I've got nothing to hide. I'm not saying one thing and then doing another. Job even said, I'm not being hypocritical. I'm not standing for something, doing something else. Is your heart pure and your speech pure? I hate sin and I avoid it at all costs. Can you defend your ways before the Lord? We cannot defend our ways if we're ignoring conviction, and we cannot defend our ways if our ways are sinful. If anger is winning, if hatred is winning, if gossip is winning, dishonesty, you don't want to maintain those ways. You don't want to even try to defend those ways before a holy God. I know this has been a different message tonight, but that's okay. Sometimes we need different. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2 says, a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord knows the motives. Brother Chris, would y'all come up to the piano, please? If you were accused, and I know we've all heard this before, if you were accused of being blameless, God-fearing, an upright man or woman of God, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I'll say it again, and I do know I did not come up with this. We've all heard this. But if you were accused of being a blameless, God-fearing, upright man or woman of God, would there be enough evidence to convict you? When temptations come your way, do you stand strong or do you cave? When hardships and trials come your way, will you stand unmoved? When someone tries to get you to cheat for them or lie for them, will you refuse to jeopardize your testimony and your walk with God? Someone told me one time, you're too honest. Really? Can you be too honest? They wanted me to do something that wasn't right. And I said, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that for you. I'm not going to lie for you. Well, you're just too honest. I'd rather be honest and have God give me the thumbs up than do what that person wanted me to do. When someone pushes your buttons, as they will, people know how to push your buttons. When someone pushes your buttons, are you still going to speak blessing to them or cursing? The devil's betting against you tonight, just like he was Job. Don't let him win. So the devil's betting against you. Tomorrow morning when you get up, the devil will be betting against you. But don't let him win. Going through hardships can make you stronger, or they can kill you and it's up to you. You have that choice. I'm going to let this situation strengthen me, or I'm going down. It's all up to you. In chapter 23, Job testifies of the power of God, knowing that God is not out to use his power against him, but for him, to strengthen him. And he acknowledges that while it seems that he can't find God, God himself knows the way that Job takes. He knows the way that I take. He realizes that everything that is going on, he knows all about it. If you'll maintain righteousness before God, you'll be able to lay down and sleep by those lions that were meant to destroy you. If you'll maintain your ways before God, and if you have ways that you can defend before God, and you're upright before the Lord, everybody around you might see you going through the fire, and as they look, they're going to see the Son of God in there with you. If you can defend your ways, are your ways worth defending? Stand with me tonight. Are your ways worth defending? How do I live in a way that's worth defending? Well, the Bible's full of scriptures, but I want to tell you these tonight. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Paul tells them that he was praying that they would walk worthy of the Lord. They would please him in all of his ways. They would be fruitful in every good work. That they would increase in the knowledge of God. That they'd be strong according to his glorious power. And that they would show patience and long-suffering with joy. Walk worthy, praise him, be fruitful, increase in knowledge by reading the word. Be strong and show patience and long-suffering with joy. The key point here, increasing in the knowledge of God. As you increase in the knowledge of God, you learn to do all of these things. So what happened with Job? God blessed him. And he gave him double what he had before. And you say, yeah, but what about the kids? He lost his first 10 kids. You know what? I don't know how, but God had a way of dealing with the grief that Job dealt with through that loss. I don't know how he did it, but he did. And he gave him twice everything that he lost. When God takes something, or when you lay something down, God will give you better. I promise you he will. I promise you he will. If you will sacrifice something, if you will surrender something, if you will surrender those ways that are indefensible, inexcusable, I guarantee you God will bless you. Where are you tonight?